Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Odell Beckham Jr. made the catch with one hand for the touchdown! Wow, what a catch by the rookie!
Ridiculous!
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, BT and Sal back on The Fan, 11:04. We'll get back to these Giant Colts here. I know you guys are fired up. 888-808-1019. So, the Jets. All right, listen, you never want to minimize a win, and there were a lot of elements of the win that were good. Far from perfect. See, but there is one thing that bothers me right away. So you get your face kicked in on national TV on a Monday night, right? I know it's a tough chore, 3,000 miles away. Niners are really good. Nobody really thought that. I thought they might cover. I didn't think the Jets would win. Few of us did, and they did not. And they really weren't competitive. So after the game, when they got pushed around on the ground game by McCaffrey's running backup, like there was just a lot wrong with that game. They surrendered, you know, with the white flag with Aaron Rodgers taking a seat with a couple of minutes to go. So what would they be and how would they look in week number two? Now, they did some really good things eventually. We'll get to that. But Sal, and this is the biggest issue with the Jets, they are still not well coached. Because the first, if Will Levis is not the quarterback, all right?
Yeah.
I think the Jets probably lose this game. Because they're losing 7-0. So right away, after an initial 3-and-out, they allow the, and then the Jets, you know, give the ball back fast. They do nothing on offense. Very predictable play calling again early. Go left, running, go right, running, punt. Like, that's got to change. Hopefully it will. But then, they are a whisker away from being down 14-0. They recover the fumble. All right, great. Will McDonald was awesome. But then the Jets do nothing with it. They wind up punting like, I know they won, and they should, I'm going to use this word and stick with it, they should mop the Patriots on Thursday, but far from perfect Jets win.
You know, it would be the SOJ, same old Jets, if not for Aaron Rodgers. I mean, that's it. It's the same thing. Saleh goes out there and has the gall after week one and that trouncing to say it's an easy fix. Well, what week exactly, Coach, is that easy fix going to take place? Because I was watching week two. You know what I saw? Your defense getting steamrolled again. A defense that talks tough, that does not live up to the hype. That's a major, major problem here for this team. Now, they won because of Aaron Rodgers' greatness. And there's many layers to tackle with that. But it's not the same old Jets because they have number 8. An actual real-life quarterback who will give you a chance. Otherwise, it was the same thing. They're badly coached. The defense is overrated. Can't make a play. And the Titans basically gave them that game handed to them on a platter. Which is why they were able to take it. Now, you give them credit for winning, like
100%,
you said.
100%.
But my God.
Yeah.
Man, this is a big problem, this defense. An easy fix. My ass. Robert Saleh's just lost. Oh, and by the way, the penalties, which continue to be a major issue for this team. What's the penalties tell you about a head coach? The lack of discipline? That's on him. And this is a constant thing. God, easy fix. Well, then how about you fix it? How about you? Well, people ask, I didn't see the post game, and the Jets won, so it's a little different.
Yep.
But, I mean, the same way we asked Dable questions here, well, why not ask Saleh? Hey, you said you were going to fix this. We were all watching. It didn't look like you fixed anything. And against a team who can't even move the football with the Titans.
I do think that rough in the passer call was the worst one we might see all season. That was ridiculous. Now, that's a penalty that I'm going to absolve the coaching staff of. They did it. That was Jermaine Johnson, who's now gone for the year. And we'll get to what this means with Reddick a little later. But, listen, the Jets, to me, are going to be, you know, they're in it all year. I mean, unless Rodgers goes down, then all bets are off, obviously. But if Rodgers is playing, you just saw the little subtleties. Like, you're watching some of the throws. You're like, I haven't seen a throw like this from a Jet quarterback in my life. And it's nice to see him still be able to manipulate very easily defenses with his mind. And they got talent. They got talent, right? But I'm watching, and it's much more pronounced in the stadium. And we've seen, like, video from fans in stadiums over the years, what I'm about to bring up. But I saw it with my own eyes. So they give up that first touchdown, and they got pushed around 7 minutes, right, after what happened in San Francisco. And I'm at the 40-yard line, about 20 rows up, right behind the Jets bench. Six seats. I sent you the picture.
Yeah, yeah.
But six just for the aesthetics of the game, but perfect to dial in on the body language and the interaction. And when they gave up that touchdown, and it's on my X account. Go check it out. He didn't, Robert Saleh didn't say a word to anybody. He was walking around aimlessly, no fire, like just nothing. I know that you and I are a little different, a little nuts, a little wacky. I couldn't understand. I could never relate to being a head coach, whether my job's up for grabs or not, and his clearly is. If my team's getting pushed around, not lighting somebody up. I know they're making a ton of money. I know they're not high school kids. They're pros. But you got to stop holding their hand. Now, they won, and I'm happy. And they did some things well. But he's just never going to change, man. Well, it was so passive. It was embarrassing.
But then that's the problem. And the other thing is, even though they won and there's hope because of Aaron Rodgers, because of Robert Saleh, like, and if the defense is not great, like top three defense,
it's not going to be. It's not going to be.
The Super Bowl aspirations are over. That was supposed to be their calling card along with Rodgers, who, before we get to the calls, I just want to say, because you mentioned it before, like, I don't know if we've seen anything like this. Aaron Rodgers. Now, it is also in comparison to what we've seen from both the Giants and Jets quarterbacks in recent years. But in general, the decision-making, that's what stands out. Like, yes, his arm strength and the ability to make those throws. But when was the last time we in this town saw a quarterback make the decision as quick as Aaron Rodgers makes the decision before he even really gets set? And like, we sit back there and you know the clock, you watch like Jones even yesterday still holds on to the ball way too long. Good God, Zach Wilson or Darnold, whatever. And I know it's apples to oranges here, but just watching Rodgers drop, boom, bing, ball gone. He knows where he's going with it before anybody else in the stadium does. It is refreshing to watch Rodgers play quarterback. It's the only reason why they're not the same old Jets. Saleh's going to hold them back, BT.
Yeah,
that's,
I mean, listen, they got two very different running backs, which is nice. You know, one blur and one beast. That's good. And obviously, Garrett Wilson's terrific. I think Mike Williams is going to get more and more. Like, that would have been a really nice grab over the middle that he dropped. That was a dime. I thought he should have caught that, but he made a big play late to atone for that. The Jets special teams is pretty good. Will McDonald showed some signs, but if he can't stop the run, and now with this injury to Jermaine Johnson, it's got to change the level of expectation for this team. It doesn't mean that, you know, something crazy can't happen. I do think they'll be a playoff team, but this doesn't look like anything remotely close to a Super Bowl defense. It just doesn't. 888-808-1019. They might have to make some trades. Yeah, they really might. You talk about the Reddick stuff, which we'll do later. Joe Douglas, if you had a 1 or 2 year window here with Rodgers, which they do, you're gonna have to bring in some big bodies up front. I mean, they're going down like flies. So now the Jets are on the table, the Giants have been on the table. We're inside of our Town Fair Tire studio. Our friends at Town Fair remind you that you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. But Nashville?
Oh, yeah, boy. I'll get into that a little bit later on. I'd be curious Nashville. To see. I've never been. I want to go.
Nashville's pretty muddy. George is down in Annapolis, Maryland with the free Odyssey app. What's up, Georgie?
Hey, guys. How are you today?
What's up, George?
Hey, we were at the game yesterday. Had good seats, 15-yard line, 20 rows up. Got to look at everything. Gano, before the game started, it wasn't even paying attention to it. You're looking at other things. I noticed, though, nothing longer than 30 yards in warm-ups. But
that's what Hoff said.
Hey, by the way,
that's what Hoff said. He said the same exact thing. He was obviously in the radio booth. Hoff said the same thing.
Well, I thought you said Hoff. Didn't you just say that he was hitting 40? Hold on a sec there, George.
Yeah, he was getting. He was hitting about 40-plus yarders.
Okay.
He didn't go anything. He admitted not that he didn't do anything past 50.
Yeah, because I was there at the game last year and the year before, and this is only like 30 minutes from my house, and I grew up on Long Island. So, but long story short, I'd see him warm up. Hit 50s and maybe close to 60, but you know what I mean? It definitely seemed odd, but you weren't paying attention to it until then all of a sudden you were paying attention to it in the game.
Until you had to.
Absolutely. Offensively, some weird stuff. If you look at the box score, he only targeted four different receivers, including running backs, and zero tight end targets. There was a couple routes where they ran deep route verticals down the sidelines with Slayton and Neighbors. And you'd see the play, they wouldn't make the pass. And you see the end of the play, you could park an Escalade at the 50-yard line and hang out there and drink beer because nobody was near the play. There was, you could have ran a guy right down the seam with a tight end,
Coach George, can I ask you a question here?
Oh, I got you. No. But look at the box score because there's none in there.
I'm just messing with you. Here's my real question. I'm not saying you're wrong. I just want to keep it moving. Do you feel better? One word. Do you feel better or worse about the Giants today than you did going into yesterday's game?
Worse.
Okay, yeah, interesting. I like the way you phrase that. I feel better. It's not even close. I feel better. The loss obviously hurts more, but I feel a million times better from the performance from week one, where they got their doors blown off for non-competitive, to a game yesterday where they should have won. It hurts for a different reason. They were at least competitive. They moved. They scored three touchdowns, didn't allow one.
I lost.
I mean, come on. But you take that every time. Take that. If they score three touchdowns and don't allow one the rest of the year, I guarantee you they'll win every game but maybe one. Maybe one. So it happened in the history of the sport. It's only happened once. This first time it's happened in regulation, to your point, BT.
Yep.
So I'll take scoring three touchdowns and allowing none every single time the rest of the way, and I guarantee you the results will be different.
You know, I asked George the question. I'm not sure. You said you feel better.
Yeah.
I don't know if I feel better or worse. I think I'm just kind of still stuck in the middle, like not really changing my opinion on the Giants. I picked them to win. Maybe that was not with the spread. I picked them to, you know, with the perfect part. Me, you, and Hoff all picked them to win, right?
Yes.
So I want to see the Giants bag an early win because I know what's coming up. This road is about to get treacherous, and you're 0-2, and the Giants have massive problems here. So I don't want the Giants season to evaporate so fast, and maybe it doesn't, but it just feels like it is. All right, so we all miss that. But I don't feel as I look at this, and I watched the game when I got home last night. I was following in the stadium at Tennessee, and I actually watched the game, recorded, and I watched when I got home. I don't feel better. I don't feel worse because I didn't, deep down, did I really think that they would win? Yeah, I picked them, but I didn't really feel it. And now I feel like they're going to be 1-7. I mean, maybe 2-8. So I don't feel better about it despite them, doing some better things. Mike is in Clifton Park. What's happening, Mikey?
Hey, guys. So, listen, I'm a huge Giant fan, and I was disappointed with Dable, not having another kicker on the team and how the press conference went. But, with all that, even if Giants have a bad year, which they will because their schedule is horrible, and they're not very good, you still got to stick with Shane and Dable, I think, for the next year or two. I mean, can you imagine you bring in Dable to be, to help a young quarterback, and you don't even draft a young quarterback, and you fire him at the end of the year? Like, it makes no sense.
Well, hold on a second, Mike, hold on. I think you're part right, and I appreciate the call. And I do understand that thought process. I truly do. Just recycling people and, the firing line, next, you're up, next. Now, that's horrible. Instability is the worst thing that you can have in sports. Look at the Jets over the years. Look at the Mets over the years. Like, there's a reason why the Giants have been better than a lot of the teams in this town, because stability is won out. But it's not a football thing with Dable. It's not an acumen thing, although he's got to take ownership, and he did, in his defense of the Gano stuff. It's his personality, which I like, but I don't think it's going to play well here unless he changes. Because if he keeps losing, and newsflash, he's probably going to, it's over, man.
Well, unless he changes or unless they start winning.
You think he's going to change personality?
No, but I think that they could. Well, I mean, I don't see. Here's the problem. I don't see anything wrong with it. And, we're going back to last year fighting with Wink. Well, did Wink need to change his personality too? I mean, Dable's the head coach.
It wasn't just Wink. There were multiple coaches. There was
turmoil. A lot of those guys stayed here. Kafka, we heard about him leaving.
Sal, there was turmoil in that building. There were problems in that building.
I like the way Dable, me personally, I like the way he runs things. And the way he deals with the media, I don't think is a problem when he gets asked stupid questions to have a short temper and a short answer. I mean, that's just who he is. You got to be true to yourself. And if the Giants ownership doesn't like it, then maybe he will find his way, on the outside looking in. But ultimately, it's going to come down to winning. And I think Brian Dable gives the Giants the best chance with this roster to win games than other options that might be out
there. And I thought it was early. Week two, that is early for that kind of a question here. But you've got to handle it better. Let me get Joe up in Harlem. Joe, BT and Sal, what's going on?
Hey, gentlemen, and it's an honor to be on with you. I'm a loyal listener.
Thank you,
but
Joe.
Guys, I think I really enjoy you guys' show, so thank you so much.
Awesome.
Guys, I think you're way, way unfair towards Saleh. And let me make my point. Since Brian Dable's been the coach, yes, the first year they went to the playoffs. He was handed a team. He took them to the playoffs. You've had infighting with the coaches, the special teams coach, the defensive coordinator. You have them staring down, cursing out players on national television. Have them staring down issues. Saleh inherited a team from Adam Gase that was garbage. What have they had? top five defense the last 3 years. The Jets defense have never played this well. What do they do? They draft Zach Wilson. Zach Wilson couldn't throw the 5 yard out accurately. He was a horrible quarterback. What do you expect them to do? It got so bad that these guys walked around, the defense walked around with, I believe, in Mike White t-shirts on.
Yeah, no, we know that. We don't need to rehash that, Joe, but forget about what happened before. What about now? Saleh himself. Joe, hold on 1 second. We'll give you the time here. Saleh himself, forget about what BT or I said. Saleh himself said, easy fix. Defense was an easy fix after Monday night's embarrassment. What happened yesterday?
Now, did they not fix it in the second half?
They didn't look like they fixed it to me. They're lucky they hung on for dear life.
They shut them down in the second. But hold on. You have a GM who does not make himself available to explain. You lose John Franklin Myers. You don't have Bryce Huff. You have a disaster situation with Reddick. And the coach has to go out there with down basically now 4 defensive linemen. 4. And you still have to go out there. Michael Clemens is not Bryce Huff.
No.
McDonald is not John Franklin Myers. But you guys have – listen, if Joe Douglas went up to Woody Johnson's suite and put on a headset and had to listen to Robert Saleh berate his coaches who haven't left, you guys would be ripping him apart. That is unheard of in the NFL. It's the National Football League. But every time I listen to the show, it's – Saleh has a coaching problem. The one thing I'll agree with you guys on, and then I'll stop, is Nathaniel Hackett is a joke as an offensive coordinator, but maybe that was done because they had to bring Rodgers in.
Well,
so
of course.
I thank you guys, but I just wanted to point that out.
No, Joe, that's a good call, man. I love it. Great passion. We disagree. Not that Joe Douglas should be absolved of any blame. And by the way, you know, you said you love the show and you listen all the time. We've been all over Joe.
Right.
So, we really have been. You whiffed on Becton. You whiffed on Zach Wilson. We thought you whiffed on Will McDonald, but Will McDonald showed, I mean, he was great yesterday.
The Reddick trade.
The Reddick trade. We've talked about this. Listen, the bottom line is some of these things are very tough to quantify. Like, we can sit here and talk about draft picks. That's kind of easy because you see who's good and who's not. The stuff with Saleh is just an innate sense, also backed up by the record, which, to Joe's point, is not all of his fault, understood. But you watch certain coaches. They're in command, they're in control, and they feel like they're assets. When we, and you know, I'm speaking for my partner, because I know what you've said over the last year, when we watch Robert Saleh, we don't feel like he's an asset. We feel like he's a detriment.
Right.
That's just our opinion.
I'll also disagree with the Hackett part of it. Now, you could not like Hackett, and the offensive play caller is probably the least popular person on a football field, but he's won multiple MVP, or Aaron Rodgers won multiple MVPs with Hackett being his offensive coordinator. Also, you talk about adjustments. Well, they made adjustments yesterday when they realized they couldn't hold the ball too long because Tennessee was getting to them. They changed it up and went with quick release plays or getting the ball out of his hands a lot quicker. So I'm not saying Hackett is a great coach by any stretch, but I don't think he's the problem here. I think Robert Saleh is the problem.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first 3 grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
And that defense, more specifically.
Talk New York sports on The Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right. It is officially time to abandon post. It is officially time to jump ship. It is officially time to put down the moral compass. You got to pay us on Reddit. That's just really nothing else to say.
Hey, Reddick, Jets had the hammer. They can't. Reddick, what's he doing? It really is unfortunate, BT. We talked about this. Everybody's losing here. The Jets need Reddick there. There's a reason why Joe Douglas traded for him. As foolish as that trade may have been, there's a reason why. And I don't think he would solve all their problems, by the way. He's not going to be stopping the run.
No.
But at least it would help and maybe help get to the quarterback. Dude, if they gave up the final score yesterday,
Oh, my God.
That was one where they shouldn't even let it get that close. But anyway, So you think now the Jets need to?
I know that they have to. I don't know that they will, but they have to. Think about this. I would be inconsistent. Remember what I was saying over the, certainly before the Soto acquisition, even going back before that. Like the Yankees, you'll see where I'm going. Yankees owe it to Judge and Cole in their primes to surround them with as much talent as possible to give them the best chance to win. And Aaron Rodgers' situation, if he's still in his prime, maybe he's just outside of it. He probably is just outside of it physically, but still really good. The Jets need to maximize this window of opportunity. And, you know, I know that Will McDonald was awesome. And, you know, with the forced fumble, the three sacks, maybe this actually is the fuel that Joe Douglas needed to not cave. But this defense is not going to win a championship. And they still might not win one with Hassan Reddick, but you know, maybe you slow play this another week and maybe you let, you know, Reddick's camp know, hey, despite what happened to Jermaine Johnson, we're not about to crack, but eventually you're going to have to crack if you want to win.
I mean, even with Jermaine Johnson, they clearly were having problems. So now you lose him. It's not going to help any. Look, it shouldn't be this hard to stop the run. Not for a team that prides itself on being a great defense. And by the way, on that note, Sauce Gardner is extremely overrated. I'm sorry. Sauce Gardner getting beat left and right. Calvin Ridley torching him. Like, what is Sauce doing?
I think he's right, man. You know, he didn't look right against the Niners. He's definitely not a tackler. We know. I mean, the young man's got to put a few pounds on. He's got to be a little more. I don't need you to be, you know, whomever. Name a hard-hitting. Revis didn't mind putting the pads down. He could tackle. I don't need you to be that. But I need you to at least pretend that you have an interest in trying to, you know, glance a blow at somebody when they have the football. He's amazing in coverage, but I don't think he's right. To say he's overrated to me is nuts, but what he's put on film the first two games.
Well, here's why I say he's overrated. Now, does it mean that he could never get, you know, reach that height? But we talk about
reach the height again or reach the, because I really think that he's reached the height. He was all pro.
Well, maintain that. Well, he's talking about the best shutdown corner in the game right now.
Well, he was the first 2 years.
Well, when I watched Darrell Revis or Deion Sanders before him, but let's go to Revis, keep it to the Jets and keep it local. Revis Island was for a reason. It wasn't a created thing out of nowhere. It was because it didn't matter which top receiver came to play the Jets or was playing Darrell Revis. He shut them down. Shut them down. Andre Johnson, Calvin Johnson, you name them, all those guys. Shut them down.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not seeing that with Sauce Gardner.
Well, he doesn't travel with the number one receiver all the time, which
bothers me. That's a problem.
No, that bothers. Now, that's their concept, and I mean, I could quibble about the concept. It wouldn't be my concept. I mean, I don't know.
Well, why would you use Then why draft a shutdown corner if you're not going to have him lock down the top receiver?
I would like to see it now with DJ Reed out yesterday, who is, you know, not quite Sauce, but he's a different kind of good. DJ Reed is really good.
Yeah, I like him. He's a good player.
I love him. There's a great free agent signing. You know, a lot of the times when you throw free agent money around, it's kind of, you know, you're spending for like a year or two that for what a player did in a different spot. You know, like Le'Veon Bell and a host of others. That was an amazingly astute signing. DJ Reed is awesome. So they missed him a little bit yesterday. But no, I mean, I would love to see him travel all day, every snap with whomever. That's not what they do. And that's not how they deploy him.
For a team that's got, you know, Quincy Williams is an absolute stud. Quinnen Williams, obviously stud. Sauce Gardner, as you said, all pro. For a team that's, and I know, look, maybe some of the big part of their troubles are because Mosley's slowing down. And he's banged up again, but if C.J. Mosley's not as fast, now you have a little bit of a problem there. But point is, they should be better than what they are. And you talk about they can't be top three. Well, I mean, they're looking like right now.
I don't even know if they're top 10.
Well, that's, forget it.
Now, again, think about this. Their defense was just, I mean, pardon me, their offense was just trash a year ago. And their defense, you and I disagreed to the degree of how good it was, but everybody knows it was good, you know, so nobody's going to quibble there. So last year, they're top five statistically on defense, basically dead last on offense. If the offense could go up to, you know, 12, 13, 11-ish territory, and the defense drops to 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, I mean, is that possible to string together something really good? It is, but I think the bottom line for this, for me, Sal, with the Jets, is that if they're going to be what I hope and think, well, not quite what I thought coming into the season, to be fair, but certainly hope what they can be, I think they're going to be different than what I thought they were going to be. Like, they still might get to the 11 wins that I thought they'd be. I thought they'd be 11-6, but I thought it would be a different template. I think they're going to have to start outscoring some teams, and I think they've got the horses to do it eventually. Mike Williams, some of the kids they drafted, but
be nice to get one of the tight ends involved. Actually, Rodgers had Ruckert.
He did.
The one that he threw low?
No, when he threw it deep?
Yeah, and Ruckert slowed down.
They showed it on replay.
He stopped for a second.
What did they say on TV? Because, again,
he said he's got to run through the route.
Okay.
And he didn't do that. He kind of hesitated for a second.
Fault.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, right. On that particular play, that's at least with, what's Ian's partner's name? Charles.
Charles Davis.
Yeah, Charles Davis. Yeah.
That's what Charles. I love he Charles. Was saying that's
he's
what he was saying?
Yeah, he was saying he's got to run through. And yeah. It made sense when they showed it. He kind of took slight hesitation, but that's the difference. Rodgers is throwing to a spot.
Yep.
And a young tight end did not trust, I guess, that it was going to be in that spot when he got there.
Okay, it looked like he mistimed his jump a tick. Not that he would have caught it anyway, but that's got to be six. That was a really good throw. But I think the Jets are going to score, and they're going to have some shootouts this year. Dave's in Youngstown. BT and Sal. Dave, what's going on?
Hello.
Hey, what's Dave, up, Dave? Let's go, pal.
Hey, listen. You know, with the way the game went last week, okay, they didn't score a touchdown. They had field goals. And the way the last couple seasons have gone, what do the Giants always do when they get into the red zone? They didn't even get down to the 10. They kick a field goal. How could they go into the game thinking they could win without
I hear it's got to be infuriating. I mean, it's one thing to lose, but to lose because of almost like I'll term it a clerical error, if you will. I mean, that is just, yeah, be beside yourself. It's an imminently winnable game, whether it was on paper going in or as the game, played out and progressed.
Well, they didn't go into the game without a kicker.
No, I know. I'm saying
that's what he said, though. How could they go into the game without a kicker? Now, they went into the game with a kicker who had issues during the week, but they deemed, and I'm assuming they is not just Brian Daboll, it's everybody, they deemed that he was going to be okay, and then he had a different injury. I mean, it's... Yeah. I'm just saying, like, it's not like they said, oh, we're going to go into this game, we'll be fine without a kicker. I'm assuming that they thought they checked all the boxes going in, and then he got hurt chasing down a kick return.
Let's go to Cologne, who is in New Jersey. What's going on? How you doing, buddy?
Hi, BT. Hey, two quick points on the Giants. What happened yesterday was an anomaly. ESPN has thought that when a team scores three touchdowns and allows zero, the record is like 1,202.
Yeah.
It happened only one time before.
Yeah, I think it was 89. We referenced that for sure, yeah. Congrats, Giants. You made history.
I'm the Jets. Listen, I'm happy for the win. You know, because that's a game the Jets lose like 99% of the time. And with Aaron Rodgers, you know, he gives you the chance to win the game and be in the game.
Yes.
You know, but what I did not like is the seven penalties. Two of them extended the drive. There were third downs, and they got, like, too rough in the passers and extended the drive. Last year, the same thing happened.
But one of them was a horrendous call. I mean, the NFL, would you get your head out of your behind? That play by Jermaine Jackson, there's no way that's a penalty. That can't be
But they're gonna
say, you can't play football.
I know, but we see this happen all the time.
That was particularly egregious.
Yeah,
I mean, that was just bad.
I couldn't. Now, I wanted to yell and scream and complain about the call, but after watching it again, it was kind of a...
You thought that was a real penalty?
Yeah, I mean, look, do I think it's a real penalty? No, vicious might be a little too strong, but it was a hard hit up around the head.
Did he get it with the helmet? I don't think he got him with the helmet.
It looked like it was...
Did he look like
a part of his helmet did get his face.
Again, you had the five replays. Yeah. I'm at the stadium, the one or two they put up on the board. That's the thing that stinks about going to games. Like, I need the replays.
I know.
So I did not think in real time it was a penalty. It was a good call. What I saw, limited replay, thought it was a bad call. Like, I don't think and if I'm wrong, then my bad, I'll take the L on this. I didn't think he got him with the helmet, and I certainly know that he didn't, like, launch into him far after he released the ball where it was egregious. To me, that's textbook, and even the way he put his hands back, like, that's the way you talk. That's such a good football play.
I know, but you understand how sensitive we are to this now, and they are. I should say we aren't necessarily, but they are. And if you hit a quarterback hard, which is what he did, hit him hard, and it's anywhere near the head area, which it was near, you're running the risk of taking that call. It could have gone the other way, sure, but I couldn't go nuts after watching the replay multiple times.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Far back to pass, takes a deep drop, steps up, looking to his right, and the pass intercepted by the Giants at the 40-yard line. Intercepted by the Giants. Corey Webster got the pick, and he's tackled at the Packers 34.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
I mean, how weak was that from Garrett Cole over the weekend? Oh, Sal.
You see how he did it, too, holding up the four fingers?
Yeah, I just wanted you to have a white flag in your hand and wave it around for all to see. I don't want to compete. That was startlingly weak. I mean, That was gutless. I don't really use that word often because, you know, what these men can do on the field, most of us couldn't dream of doing. And I know that we have a way of minimizing it and making it seem easy on the radio, but how the hell in a 1-0 game, it's not the seventh inning or the eighth inning, a high leverage situation. There's one out, there's nobody on, you're up one zip, and you put up four fingers. And then, by the way, he laces a 2-run single the next inning, and it goes off the rails. You get your head handed to the Yankees, get drilled. And now, the Yankees won the series, even though they're still not really hitting. Judge woke up, which is good. Other than solely about Gerrit Cole, when I think about the New York, you know, landscape, the pantheon of superstars right now in New York, no order, but you got Judge, you got Jalen Brunson, you know who they are, Shesterkin. Gerrit Cole is on that list. And for Gerrit Cole to just take a pass on competing, that was stunning.
Yeah, I mean, it was odd. I'm not going to go nuts about it. I thought there was more good that came of that weekend and that series. And you know, I didn't get wrapped up in the way that the Yankees beat the Royals in extra innings or even the Red Sox in the first game in extra innings. But I thought the fact that, you know, the Judge Grand Slam game coming back in that game was huge. Oof. And taking 3 of 4, you know, starting to separate themselves from Baltimore. I think there was more good than bad. And ultimately for me, BT, whether it's Cole, whether it's Judge or Rodon or Weaver, like the Yankees, and you know, Weaver emerges as the closer now, whatever. They're going to be judged on what they do in a couple weeks from now. They're going to be judged on what they do in October. So this is nice that, I don't want to say they backed into the division, but it's really been, you know, the Orioles lose every night. I don't even know how the Orioles have been able to keep pace, and the Yankees have been frustrating. Look at their record since June, mid-June, whatever it may be. But I felt like this series against Boston kind of woke them up a little bit or took them to another level. But ultimately, they're going to be judged on what they do in the postseason.
Nobody's denying that. I mean, the real scoreboard and test begin, yep. Evaluation begins soon. But, you know, the one thing that I've held firm on, now, we've all known, you know, once they get off to this great start, Yankees are a playoff team, they got to win this division. And it's not nailed down yet. They're going to probably win it. As Sal said, the Orioles are a mess right now. They dropped 7 of 10. Yanks are up 3. But you're going out west now. You got to play, was it 3 or 4? It's at least 3 in Seattle. Then you're off to Oakland as they get ready to close down the Coliseum. The job's not done. Now things have stabilized themselves. Guys have gotten healthy. And the sound, you know, kind of like when Tino hit the home run against the Padres, right? The Grand Slam in the World Series, like just the way the place exploded when Judge hit that home run.
Yes,
just it's very rare that you see in September, even at Yankee Stadium, even against the Red Sox, like everybody's arms up in the air. Like it was nuts.
That was euphoria. And I love that you brought that up because I wanted to get to that too. Because remember the night before the walk off against the Royals, Jazz was like, oh, this is great playoff atmosphere. And I'm thinking, yeah, I know you're coming from Miami where there's like 500 people in the stand, so this feels like it, but this is not playoff atmosphere. Even the walk-off win with Soto against the Red Sox, it was a nice win, but like didn't do it for me. That, the Judge home run, that felt like playoff atmosphere. Judge Grand Slam, I should say.
Yeah.
That felt like playoff atmosphere.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt. But we did disagree going back to late last week on not the importance, because of course you recognize a win is a win. It's a better race here. But like to me, it was almost more impressive that they found a way to squeeze out a couple of these wins without, you know, even though Soto was influential, and one of them, of course, with the 2-run homer, where Judge was just in the longest funk of his career, 16 straight games, no home runs. The Red Sox woke him up a bit. That's good big picture. But the Yanks have been grinding for a while. They've won 3 straight series, a lot of extra inning games, tight, you know, higher leverage, bullpens. You could see who's going to assimilate to what role. This is a good launching pad for the Yankees here. But again, and I love it. I love the fact that they beat Boston 3 times out of 4. That Gerrit Cole, you're an ace. You're a Cy Young winner. You're an all-timer. I mean, he's not going to finish with 300 wins, but in terms of what he's done, he's an all-time Yankee. He's amazing. And you don't want to compete. And I know that Devers has a 1,400 OPS against you, basically, and he owns you. And if the situation was different, I swear to God, Sal, I would really understand that. Put him up, walk him, upper run, 7th inning, man on, base open. What? That's baseball. What he did was soft.
Imagine Roger Clemens.
Never.
Imagine Roger Clemens putting up his hand to signal 4 and giving Mike Piazza the wave.
Never.
Now, I would have preferred that because, instead he got drilled in the head.
Well, yeah, true.
But that's the point. Like, Clemens couldn't get Piazza out, so he drilled him in the head. Cole can't get Devers out, so he said, hey, you know what? Mercy. Go take first base. Like, that is
weird. I know.
Well,
who did it? Yeah, listen, I can promise you this. Gerrit Cole didn't wake up that morning and say, you know what, this guy's only, which he has. I'm not going to let him hit against me early. Nah, that was crafted by the Yankees. And you have to wonder, like, what kind of a defeatist attitude is that? You know it was crafted by their pitching coach and Aaron Boone. It's not like he just went out there because he talked about this.
Yeah.
I didn't like it. I'm not going to yell about it all day.
It was definitely soft, but still, it's not, to me, the biggest deal. We'll see what he does in the postseason. You know, I can't wait, though. You mentioned the Yankee road trip. Next week, they'll have Baltimore coming in, and that should be it. Assuming that the Yanks don't pull away before that series, but then they have a chance to clinch the division at home, head-to-head, against the Orioles, which should be fun.
And think about the way it started down in Baltimore. Yeah. The Yankees lost 3 out of 4. Yeah. The only win they had in April, that was the Luis Gil game where he pitched. I think it was 2-0. So the tides have turned a bit, but it ain't over yet. You've got to get the division, I believe, and I believe they will, but it's not there yet. The more the Yankees play, the more they'll be exposed. A couple of areas. They've got a lot of good things going for them. Far from perfect. Nobody else is perfect either. I mean, this is flip a coin. I have no idea who's going to win. I have no idea who's going to advance. Nobody knows who's going to be in the World Series. I know this. The more the Yankees play, the greater the odds are that they will, that their season will end. So win the division. Put it on ice for a little bit. Let other teams beat themselves up. And let's go. All right, let's get back to you. Visit the Giants stuff with Dable. Interesting press conference 2 games in. The Jets get their first win. Not perfect, but it's a win. And you saw the Rodgers effect. Hassan Reddick. You got to swallow your pride, Joe. You got to pay him. That's it. 888-808-1019. Pete's in Seaford. What's happening, Petey?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
On quick points on both teams' head coaches here. You know, Dable, the absolute hubris of this man with a roster spot open to go down to Washington when Gano was bad and injured last season. You knew he was on a bad wheel on Saturday coming into this game. To keep a roster spot available and not bring a kicker out, did you think you were going to go down to Washington and win this game just by showing up based on what's happened with this team since the second half of the Eagles game in the playoffs 2 seasons ago? I'm sorry. The Mara is married to stability. You guys alluded to it. Giants love their stability. I don't need to give you a history lesson. Their stability has led them from the end of Eli's career to the place they are now, which is nowhere near being competitive. Going across the locker room, you know, even coming off of the win, I would have fired Salah yesterday. What? This team is undisciplined.
Oh, Pete,
they're not
on, Pete,
giving.
Pete,
they're not Pete, giving. No. This defense, with this undisciplined defense, they're being officiated based on their track record. I know that NFL officiating shouldn't be subjective. I know it shouldn't be, but you don't think this team is being refereed based on the fact that they've had probably the most personal fouls in the league, or probably top five personal fouls in the league since Salah's been here?
I'm going to tell you now, is there an element of subjectivity, like even if it's not intentionally coming to the surface from referees, like with Jordan back in the day, or Magic, or Bird? We know how it works, but I think they might be, on some small level, officiated differently, but not because their players are aggressive, because the refs don't really respect Robert Saleh. I can promise you that Andy Reid's not getting, I'm not saying he never gets a call that goes against him. You tell me Belichick didn't get the benefit of the doubt because of Belichick or Don Shula? I mean, it's the way it goes. Or Coach Gibbs with Washington, or Parcells, or Tom Landry? Come on.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they're being officiated any differently. I just think that they lack discipline, and they got guys that go out there and do stupid things that they shouldn't do repeatedly. The head coach needs to fix that. So I don't think he should be fired yesterday. I mean, I wouldn't have gotten in the year with him, but he shouldn't be fired after a rare win yesterday. You got to fire someone.
I think that's the craziest thing I've ever heard on the show, and there's been some crazy things on the show. You didn't fire him going into the season. You're going to fire him after a win?
That's just ridiculous.
I know, that is absolutely ridiculous.